So this morning we're joined, or this, actually it's evening for us, but for this Sunday morning conversation that's going to go out, we're looking at encountering Jesus in terms of evangelism. And that's something that either fills you with fear and trembling, or it fills you with a sense of expectation and being part of God's adventure, part of the romance of the gospel. So I'm joined now with some good friends, Jim, Pat, and Janine. And we're hopefully just going to be honest and share our aspirations and our experiences. And hopefully you'll find that informative. But just to start us off, there were four things that I wanted to sort of bring out about evangelism as part of the sort of teaching, very short introduction. And the four words were perspective, priority, preparation, and participation. So that's perspective, priority, preparation, and participation. And the reason why I drew those out were mainly because of some of the scriptures that Jeff gave me as a pointer. And when I looked at some of those scriptures, I kind of thought, yeah, this is something that's on God's heart. This is something that's really important to the church and is definitely on God's agenda. The first scripture I was asked to look at was in Acts 20, 24. And it said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So in that, I kind of thought that there was a real perspective there where the writer is basically saying, I consider my life worth nothing apart from finishing the race and to complete the task that Jesus has given them. And that's to testify to the good news and God's grace, which is to testify and share the gospel. So there was a perspective that out of all life's pressures, nothing's going to rob the writer of the sense that there's a perspective and also a priority. So again, the writer says that, which is Paul, my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. So when we think of someone like Paul, and we think of all the pressures as a church builder, as a church founder, as a master builder, we could kind of say, well, out of all these priorities, sure, his priority was church building. And we could say maybe, yeah, that was a priority. But his main aim is to testify to the good news of God's grace. So when you consider that all the pressures on Paul, he actually says it's quite simple. My aim is to share the gospel. My aim is to share the story over and over again. But if you were to cut him in half, you'd see written right through him the good news and God's grace. So really, we can ask the same question of ourselves. Is it our perspective that life is worth nothing apart from sharing the gospel? I gulp at that point and think, well, not, sometimes my life isn't like that at all. Is it my main aim, my priority? But also in 1 Peter 3:15, we've got that word preparation, where it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So in 1 Peter, we see that we're always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for your hope. So we've got perspective, we've got priority, we've got preparation. But in 2 Timothy 4:5, we've got participation. Paul writes to Timothy and says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So what he's saying is that you, Timothy, as a young pastor, don't forget the perspective, the priority, and the fact that you've been prepared to share the gospel. So it seems through those scriptures that those four principles are you know, what the Holy Spirit would love to speak to us at any given point, that we tune into the gospel and what's on God's heart. He would talk to us about what's our perspective, re-evangelism, what's our priority, what's our preparation, and what's our participation. I'm going to stop there and just ask my dear friends, you know, just to give us some sense of what's their experience of sharing the gospel in terms of perspective on for your life. And I'll start with Jim, yeah? What's your kind of sense of perspective when it comes to evangelism?
Well, like you are suggesting, you felt my I'd like to say I have exactly the same perspective as Paul, but most of the time I don't, if I'm honest. And often the idea of speaking out is you know, it feels a challenge for me. I think the perspective of looking at Jesus and the love of God in sending him, and all that the Father and the Son with the Holy Spirit have done to actually change me and to bring me into his family. When I take that perspective, I find that, you know, there is a softening of the hardness that I feel, and a bit of a change goes on. So I find looking at Jesus and his love helps me to have more, lovely, to be a bit more like Paul than I would be naturally. Yeah,
that's great. Thank you for that. In terms of priority, if I answer to that one, then again, I find that unless I actually am intentional about actually being evangelistic or wanting to share the gospel or to reach out to someone, that unless I'm intentional, then I find that priority just disappears in my life. Loads of things crowd in. So I'm constantly trying to put into my diary, either through just hospitality or just by reaching out to someone to talk to them, to pray for them, that actually diary time equates to priority time. So I have to be very intentional about it, or otherwise it doesn't become a priority and it just, you know, life just pressurizes in and I find that I don't tend to prioritize evangelism. But Pat, in terms of preparation, what's your experiences? You know, what would you like to add?
I think I pray a lot, maybe because I'm scared and not full of confidence about doing evangelism, generally speaking. So I pray a lot. And I pray, first of all, that God will direct me to the right people. And secondly, that I'll have the confidence that the Holy Spirit will give me the right words to say, if same words are indeed what's required. And if I can just give you a quick example of this. A couple of months ago, I had somebody new, a new mobile hairdresser that I'd never met before. So I didn't know this lady. And she did my hair and we did the normal thing, you know, chitting and chatting like you do when you're at the hairdresser's. And we finished, and after a cup of coffee, and suddenly she just poured out her heart to me about awful things that were happening for her in her life. And I just stood there and part of me was thinking, I ought to say something here. I ought to be, you know, getting the gospel in at some point. And I just had the feeling, the words in my head was God was saying, Pat, be quiet, just listen to her. And that's all I did that first time. I just listened to her and then she went. And it sort of impressed upon me that it's as important to be willing to listen to people we're with as it is to be worried about what we say. I also pray for an absence of fear, because I'm not naturally somebody who just goes and talks to people I don't know. So I do pray that fear will be absent.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's excellent. And Janine, what's your kind of experience of participating in actually doing the evangelism, doing the outreach, spreading the word?
Well, I suppose I've been involved with a few bits along, you know, along the years. When I first became a Christian, I was living abroad, and the church that I attended there, they used to do a weekly walk in, you know, an area of where all the, like, the nightclubs and the bars were and that kind of things. And they used to walk there and talk to people and give out people's testimonies and that kind of thing, and talk. And that's really where it started for me. I had that, you know, I got involved in that, and I really enjoyed speaking to people about, you know, that Jesus loved them, really. And so it's always been something, I suppose, anything that's going on in church, there's an opportunity to get out and speak to people about Jesus, is something that I try my hardest to get involved in, really.
Oh, bless you. Bless you, that's amazing. So in terms of our experiences, would we say, if we just go back round the room, would we say our experiences have been positive, generally positive, with evangelism? How about you, Janine, what would you say? Is it generally positive?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that if people don't, you know, if people aren't open to you, then just to, you know, wipe your feet kind of thing and leave the area. And I think that is something that I recognise. When you're very open about Jesus, it can offend people. People aren't always happy to hear that Jesus loves them, if you know what I mean. So so I think it's recognizing that, you know, you're not to pick a fight, you know, you're not there to tell them that, you know, Jesus does love them if they don't want to hear it. So yeah, so it's just recognizing that if people do want to hear about it, you know, do want to know about Jesus, then that's they're the people that you really speak to about it, because you know, they're the ones that God's got their hand on, and if somebody doesn't, then, you know, that is their decision, and you just pray really that God will change their heart.
Hallelujah. And Pat, what about you in terms of generally with evangelism? I know that you have been fearful before, for instance, we did invite, but have you found it generally, once you participate, quite a positive experience?
Yeah, far more positive. I mean, the anxiety before doing it was far worse than the experience. I was amazed. I mean, I didn't have any abusive comments when we were on the street. I did have lots of positives and lots of smiles, even if people didn't take the leaflets we were offering. So, yeah, it was much better than I was anticipating, really. I'm amazed. I think actually people are quite keen to listen, more than I ever imagined. Not always, right. Not everybody, but a lot of people are.
Yeah, excellent. What about yourself, Jim? What have you found? Have you found it generally positive once you've started participating?
Well, I think the answer to that is it depends on the individual.
Right.
But I think that, I think for me, the process of being willing and dealing with how I feel, dealing with the responses, and like Pat, learning to listen and to be responsive to the Holy Spirit, I find that in terms of fruit, I think it is true to say that it does develop fruit of the Spirit in me. When I was a younger man, in terms of outcomes, I don't know why it is, perhaps younger people are more open, but you know, when I was a younger man, when I was talking about this, perhaps my attitudes were a bit different, but I don't know. But a lot of people, you know, proportionally more people responded. But I think now, just doing what God wants is more important than whether I feel I've got a result or not.
Yeah.
And there was it seems to me that you, you know, when somebody asks a question, not many people in my experience ask questions about the gospel or Christianity, and it's almost like you have to kind of do something to stir up a question. Or but I remember we visited our, when we were in Wales, we visited our landlords, or did they come to us or we went to, anyway, we used to have meals with them.
Yeah.
We became friends, and an opportunity came up, and I did take it, and I actually felt kind of anointed. It was like I just thought, oh, this is God clearly speaking. You know, this is not me speaking. This is not me thinking what to say. These, what I'm saying seems to be coming more from God. And although there wasn't an obvious reaction, somebody who knows them basically said that there was a marked change, particularly in the husband, in his attitude, you know, church going, you know, his attitude to Christianity did change. And I thought that was really good, because from my perspective, I hadn't done anything other than say, here I am, and try to listen to the Holy Spirit. But there was this evidence that somebody else noted. So anyway, yeah.
And also, you're quite keen, aren't you, Jim, about not taking up other people's programs, but by listening to the Holy Spirit, not accepting.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
Going for new wineskins. Did you want to talk a bit into that?
Well, if you don't mind, yeah. I think I know what it is. Is basically, we all want to be successful, and so the idea is, if that worked for them, that'll work for me. But actually, if you look at God, He works in really weird ways sometimes. You know, you think, you know, I'm just reading some scriptures where God's, I'm thinking, oh wow, that is, well, I don't get me around that. And so this sense of uniqueness of God and the way He deals with us, I think, is so important. It's not that I don't think you can learn from other people. I think sometimes methods can sort of help us deal with our fears, but my own view is very clear. In Galatians, it says, since the Spirit is our life, let's be directed by the Spirit, not a method or a technique or anything. It's basically, what is the Holy Spirit saying? And it's interesting, the story I think Pat told, you know, was really illustrating that well, I think.
Can I just come in there?
Yeah, definitely.
With regards to what Jim was saying, I think what we've realized talking to people is that, or I have, is that actually learning a system, you know, like the four spiritual laws back in the day was the sort of method
that we've done several over the years
recommended. I got more bothered about forgetting the question than actually listening to the people. So for me personally, it didn't actually get, I mean, I think it might for some people. That's why I think it's difficult to say this is the way to do it.
Yeah,
just have to say,
here I am, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. What are you telling me to do? Yeah,
we've had a word over the church about being, keeping things simple, and I quite like that combined with Janine, something that you spoke into the church, I think it might have been last year, about going after the one. Do you want to share with the church your feelings about that, the importance of going after the one?
Yeah, I suppose it was something God spoke to me a long time ago. I was praying for someone quite close to me who was doing an Alpha course at the time. And I, you know, through the whole week, there didn't seem to be any movement in this person's heart towards God at all. There, you know, and I reached a place, you know, every night while I was washing up, I would, you know, I'd pray for them, and I'd just, you know, just really pour out my heart. And it got to a stage where I would be in tears over, you know, in for them, over not, you know, not knowing really what God wanted to do there, but realizing that they were on Alpha and He had an opportunity to speak to them, and really, you know, open up their hearts to Him. and answer any questions that they had about him. And so it just got to a stage where I was in tears over them. And I knew that God was doing a work in me as well. He was, you know, softening me to understanding people and their hearts and what needed to be, what God needed to do in them. That it wasn't anything I could say or anything I could do. It was only about God. And I was, and all I could do was pray, really. That's all I could do. And at the end of Alpha, they committed their life. They became Christian. Wow. And I think, you know, I didn't speak to them at all for the whole of the time, the 10 weeks away. I had no conversation with them. All I did was pray. And I recognised that, you know, obviously God used the tool of Alpha, but I knew God had done a work in me as well over the fact that all I had to do was pray and that God could come through, would come through, you know. And it was as much to do with God wanting to change my heart, I suppose. I recognised that he wanted passionate for him moving and doing something, you know. He wanted me to be caught up in him, to go after that one, and the importance of it, of was it important to me? Did it matter to me if they got saved or not? Did it matter to me that they were gonna, you know, enter his kingdom? You know, it was like, it was that kind of impact. I recognized how important was it to me, and it was so important it moved me to tears, you know. I would weep for them. So yeah, I said, so I think I felt at the time when God spoke to me about going after the one, that it was about, it was as much to do with my heart and me being, you know, that I fervently went after God for that one, you know. It was very important to me that they became a Christian. So yeah, and that, I think that's where it came from, really, that understanding that it was, you know, it was as much to do with my relationship with God at that time as it was God, you know, impacting this person with him. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. I mean, what I'm hearing from you is just that, be real, isn't it? Be real with God and God wants
yes.
to in us.
Yes, he absolutely.
To change our heart and give us a burden for someone. And, you know, as Jim was saying about,
yeah.
we don't need to have complex schemes or, you know, we just need to be available, but be transformed in our heart and really enter into what you said was God's work, you know, to be a co-worker with him. And again, we'll to listen, and that might mean shut up. And that might mean just listen, just be there. And like you said, you didn't actually say anything. You just prayed and prayed and prayed, but you felt a burden. You were an intercessor. So I think these things are quite important, that I think we've got to remove the fear and the anxiety and just keep things simple. Don't take on huge, great, complex schemes, but just be real. But I think unless we are entering into God's work, we're just being ambitious and zealous, and we'll be frustrated. We've got to enter into God's burden for people that are lost, and then everything starts to work from that. We wanted to speak to the church and encourage them about how to walk in the good of what we've experienced and what we're saying. In terms of perspective, Jay, what would you say to encourage a person that says, I don't get perspective at all, it's just not on my radar, it's not my thing, it's, you know, evangelism is not for me. What would you say about perspective for them?
I suppose I'd look at it that some form of evangelism is possible for anybody.
Right.
You know, I know that I've just shared my testimony and then prayed fervently for somebody and seen them become a Christian. So I've not done an amazing, great work in that person's life. I've asked God to do a work and my testimony, you know, and that's caused someone, you know, my testimony might have been playing on their mind, but God has done a work. So, you know, it's not about what we do, is it? So, so actually taking your neighbour around a cake, you know, can be a form of evangelism, because actually it's showing love, it's caring for people, So it is about looking about what your gifting is within evangelism. For some, it will be standing on a stage and sharing the gospel, but that's not everybody's gifting. So my perspective is looking at it about where, what am I being obedient to where God is asking me? You know, it's like if I walk down the street and see someone, you know, am I open to saying to God, or, you know, a bit like we've shared already, or do I find it difficult? It's looking at it from where you're comfortable. Start where you're comfortable, because God will be more than willing to move you out of your comfort zone.
Brilliant. Jim, what would you say to people that say, in terms of priority, it doesn't have to be a priority because it's just not my thing?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think we're all called, aren't we? You know, the Great Commission is to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. That is, you know, that is our calling. That's everyone's calling. Mm. So I don't think anyone can say that that's not their thing. I think maybe that's a bit blunt, and I'm sorry that, but I think that is the truth. I don't think any of us can say that we're not called to speak to people about Jesus. I think we don't all find it comfortable, but we maybe need to be recognised that we start where we are comfortable, and even if that is just becoming a friend of someone, but making sure at some stage or another within that friendship, they know that you're a Christian, they know that you go to church, they know they have that understanding.
Okay, brilliant. What about Jim? What would you add in terms of encouraging people about prioritizing evangelism?
Well, I think Jesus' main command is love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, and to love the brothers exceptionally. So to love your neighbor, to not tell them about Jesus and the good news, does seem a bit weird. One of our neighbors had a bone to pick with me, really, and said, you know, you ask us round, but I think you want to talk about Jesus. And I think that's manipulation. I said to him, well, you're right about both. We want to have you around because we like you as people and we're interested in you as people. But actually, Jesus is the most important thing that's ever happened to me. Why would I not want to talk to you about it if you're a friend? And it was interesting that after that conversation, which could have been contentious, but by the grace of God wasn't, it led into quite a massive increase of warmth and relative openness. And I think there's a scripture in the I think it's the Jerusalem Bible in it's Colossians 4, about 6, something it is, but it basically says, try to fit your answers to the needs of each one. And so this idea of listening, if you're loving people, you pay attention to them and you know what their needs are. And that's how I think, is if there's any rule about sharing the gospel, it's about listening to the people, listening to the Holy Spirit, and seeking through his help to say what is helpful to that individual in wherever they are. And so that's, I think if there is any kind of basic rule about evangelism, it's in that area of loving them to meet their needs in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, by the Spirit.
Hallelujah. So, Pat, in conclusion then, what would you say to encourage the church about participating in evangelism? What would you say?
I'd say, be obedient to God, get stuck in, trust him for the outcomes, and risk it for a biscuit. That's not too frivolous. You know, it's because I think we get hung up about evangelism because basically we're thinking, what's this person going to think of me?
Right.
Whereas we should be thinking, what does God think about this person?
Yeah.
Which is where I would suggest we come from, really.
That's beautiful. Well, alas, we've run out of time. I think we could have gone on for a couple of hours there, friends.
No chance.
Brothers, I don't know.
Once you're already well.
Thank you. And I just want to encourage the church that there's some great adventures for all of us coming, you know, in this whole area of evangelism, and we need a new wineskin and just need to relax about the whole thing. And I just thank you for what you've shared. It's really encouraged me and really helped me. But thanks, guys. And I'll see you around soon.
Yeah, God bless.
God bless. Thank you.